Today I'm sitting there and boom. I don't know if you noticed today, but Brother Dan is wearing cowboy boots. Now, to most people, that wouldn't mean much. But he's been through some pretty rough surgeries on his foot and ankle. And they were out at the house a couple weeks ago. And I have a couple of cowboy boots sitting around. And he said, one of these days, I'm going to be able to wear my cowboy boots again. And I noticed when he came up here, he had his cowboy boots on. Yeah. I think about the working of God. I think about the working of God in the lives of the people in this church. Yesterday, I had the good fortune to have lunch with Miss Rogers. Her son fixed a wonderful meatloaf. Gosh, it was so good. And so Miss Rogers asked Melinda and I to come over, and he also invited Ron and Sandy over. She also invited Ron and Sandy over. And we're sitting there eating, and I'm noticing. Now, don't throw rocks at me when I say this, but I'm noticing that Sandra is talking plain. Amen. Sandra is able to. She could right there if we wanted her to, and I think she has before. Stand up in that chair, all the way up, and then sit back down. She can raise her left arm. She can wiggle the fingers in her left hand. I'm talking about the power of God and what God is doing in our congregation. Our sweet congregation where all of us think we know everybody, but do we really know some of the things that causes us, you and I, to be able to relate as to what God is doing for us? God is a wonderful God. Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know if you, one of the toughest ladies I know, and she does not like for anybody to talk about her in public, is Miss Rose. You probably don't understand Miss Rose too. She has a big garden. She cans all their food. She cans beans. She cans, you just name it, she cans it. They raise it, she cans it. Well, I go over to her house for dinner. See how that's working? You invite me for dinner, I come over. See how that's Melinda and I go over to her house for dinner, and she had all these vegetable dishes. Oh, gosh. But she manages to do all of her own canning. Her and Billy can everything, and she can't walk. She goes to the doctor this week for another evaluation of how things are going on her leg. She broke her leg, remember, below her knee. No, above her knee. And so she's going, Brother Bud, he goes in, he went in last Monday and was fitted for a new leg. And by Wednesday, they had it all, whatever they do to it, I don't know what they do to it. But by Wednesday, they had it all done, and now he's walking on his new leg. And it weighs less than half as much as the old leg. So Linda, you ought to be able to expect twice as much out of him. Yeah, this isn't that the truth? But it's amazing. I use these as stories to build up to my message because to me it's amazing how God works things through in our lives
among people who we know and who we're close to, but we don't seem to put it all together sometimes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. Before I read this, let me tell you a little story as to why this verse spoke out to me this morning. Yesterday, I was talking to a gentleman from the pastors in California. His name's Mike Harris. Many of you know him. He's that tall, dark-headed guy that drops in once in a while. Well, he told me he's getting ready to drop in for about a month. In about a month, he's going to show up for about a month. But we were talking about a couple of things while we visited on the phone. And he said, the hardest thing as a pastor, the biggest problem he has is found in verse 17. When you read that, listen, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He says, my toughest job is to convince people when they come to the altar to ask Christ to come into their heart and to save them, is to convince them, now you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Well, I preface this by showing you examples of couples or individuals in our church that we knew were not only in a lot of pain, but they were in a bad situation. But God rose them up. There are others. That's not the only ones. There are others. But that's what this verse is talking about. Read verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This morning I'm going to preach about the righteousness of God in you. As you know, I have a phone like everybody else has a phone. In my phone, I'm on Facebook. Gosh, I read lots and tons of messages from people in our church. And it just thrills my soul when you share exciting things that's happening in your life, or a little bit about what the Bible says, and how you feel like we, as believers, should live to certain standards. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will bless this message and give us great strength. I pray, Lord, that you will be with our pastor while he's taking care of your business in Cincinnati, but now bless this hour. In Jesus' name, I pray. Melinda texted me a few minutes ago and says, is there anything you need? Is there anything that I can do for you? And I said, the only thing I need is 12 o'clock. And when I finish this message, you're probably going to say, man, I wish it was 12 o'clock too. I've been nervous before, but I don't know that I've ever been nervous like today. I texted a dear old college friend of mine this morning about 2 o'clock in the morning. I studied. I went to bed early, and then I got up and studied till about 2. And then I was able to sleep till 5 before I got up and started studying again. And so this message has been a very, very difficult message for me to prepare. And I told my buddy, Kirk Wyatt. Kirk Wyatt was assistant to, I don't know if you remember, the Cross and the Switchblade. There was a star in the Cross and the Switchblade named Cruz. Well, Kirk Wyatt was a convert of Cruz's and was his assistant in all of his international preachings all around the world. And Kirk was his... Anyway, I sent this message to Kirk, and Kirk told me, he sent me back, and he said, speak from the heart. I think you're in the right frame of mind. And I appreciate that from Kurt. But what if we take away the cool music, the cushioned pews? What if we take away the screens and the stages and all the decorations on the stage? What if we take away the air conditioning and all the comforts that we have in our church? Is God's Word, listen to this question, is God's Word still enough for His people to come together? Brother Bill and I were talking just this last week about brush arbors. Someone asked me, he said, Brother Ron, did you ever go to a brush arbor meeting? I said, no, it was before my time. You believe that?
No.
All right. I never went to a brush arbor meeting, but I tell you what I did do. I went to a few tent meetings. They'd be about the same thing. Anyway, you go... 60 years ago, when I first started going to church, and it's been about how long it was, the church didn't have air conditioning. And what in the world did they do? They'd open up the windows. And then about 1960, they started putting fans in those windows. And about 1970, 68, 65, 68... they started putting swamp coolers in those windows. And then one day somebody said, hey, they got this new thing called air conditioning.
Amen.
How could we, how in the world did I do it? If it were 100 degrees in here, I couldn't handle it. We'd have to find a shade. For the first time in my life, well, Lynn and I have been married 25 years. She came to me the other day and said, I have to sit down. I can't breathe. We was outside working. I have to sit down. I can't breathe. Well, is God's Word still enough? Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Listen to this right here. The grace that does not change my life will not save my soul. You remember the first verse I read? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Ernie's not in here. He's sitting right out there. He could tell you story after story after story about what an ornery person I was when I was growing up. I needed that new creature. Every family has one, and we had about six families living together when I was young. My cousins and my aunts and uncles, we all lived in the same, you know, block. And my cousins there might be 15 cousins. I can't tell you how many times one of my cousins would make one of the neighboring blocks mad, and we'd have to fight. And they wouldn't fight. They'd just send me out there to fight. "You go fight them, Ronnie," they'd say. "Okay." Listen. When God saved me, I quit fighting. Up until He saved me, though, I still. When God saved me, He took away my temper. He took away that part of me that said, "If you don't like it, do something about it." But He took away my temper. And I was so, so happy. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter it grows. The words of the old Gaither song describes the Christian who has submitted their life to Jesus Christ. That's the challenge over and over again today I want to present to you. Because the life that I now live, I live because of the grace of God. I'm so far from perfect, but I strive toward the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's so important for all of our lives, to do that strive thing. Every day when I get up, I want to strive. I hear the pastor say how he dedicates his life to the Lord daily. And in the end of the day, he says, "Lord Jesus, come quickly." Every day when I get up, I want to strive. I don't win all the time, but I want to strive. The world says that familiarity breeds contempt. The world says that the more you know about somebody, the less you like them. You know, sometimes it does not pay for us to know a whole lot about other people. What it does pay for us to do is to recognize, support, and aggressively be in favor of that other person as they continue in this life. Our job is to support each other. Our job is through the scripture is to pray for each other and to lift each other up. Not wait around in the corner with a camera or with our spy eyes on and say, "They're going to make a mistake, and when they do, I'm going to nail them." How many times have you heard? How many times have you said, somebody comes to the altar, gets saved, "That'll never last. I know them. They can't live for Jesus. This is all for show." Instead of lining up with that person, putting your arm in that person's arm and say, "Together, we're going to march toward the kingdom of heaven. Together, we're going to make this thing work." Did you know that in the United States, 40 to 50% of all the marriages in 2018 ended in divorce? Now, let me share something with you. You all probably already know this, but Melinda, when I start studying, she gets on her computer and she looks up statistics. because I'm one of those guys that will say, you know, 25% of the, and it's not 25%. It's not even close to 25%. I'm just throwing a number out there. But she don't handle it that way. She says, if you say 25%, it better be 25%. I say, okay. But 40 to 50% of all marriages in the United States in 2018, and I was also going to say that we have a young couple that just got married 2 weeks ago, and they're in service with us today. So, all right, where are you going to go with this? I'm going to go with this way. Listen, it is your responsibility to support this couple every way you can so that this couple is a success. And if they need something and you cannot and you deliberately won't help them, shame on you. Because that's my brother sitting right there. And he's married to my sister sitting right there. And that's important. We live in a crazy world. It's full of hate. Things go so bad. Violence, the violence statistics in the United States is crazy. In 2017, Arkansas was 8% higher than any other state. No, Arkansas was 8% higher than the average. We know it's going on all around us. We don't see it so much here, but in your big cities like Little Rock, goodness gracious, it goes crazy in Little Rock. But just last week, some of you knew Mr. DeBias. Sandy, you taught with him at Darby, wasn't it? Sandy taught with him. Dennis, you interfaced with him a lot in your business. You just see these people walking down the hall. I remember him subbing at Northside. When I subbed at Northside, he subbed at Northside. He subbed at Northside a lot after he retired from teaching. He subbed. And he gets murdered in his home. There's a lot of information we don't know about that, but we do know that he was a good man. And that this stuff is going on way too much. Oklahoma, did you know that Oklahoma is in the top 10 of the states in the United States for crime? In the top 10. Those things are crazy. We're very, very lucky. We live in a country where we have freedom of worship. And I have it on my phone right here. I received a message this morning from Sherry, I believe it was, concerning, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry, bringing your name up, concerning the churches, the 20 churches that were burned. It wasn't you, it was somebody that sent me a message. It sure was you. Right name, wrong person. Okay, I'm just half dumb. In this country, yesterday they burned 20 churches. They intend to burn 200 more. 200 more. And their goal is to kill 200 missionaries. And of course, the churches are running rapid. The Christians are hiding in the homes. They're doing anything they can to be out of sight. And here you and I sat in a nice, comfortable, air-conditioned church to worship God in the United States of America. We have the freedom of worship. We have the freedom of religion. We have the freedom to do those things that so many other countries wish they had. Road rage is crazy, isn't it? I'll tell you something that's crazier than road rage, in my opinion. Students in high school are setting up situations. They will talk outside of class and they'll say, "We're going to go in there and I'm going to pick a fight with Joe. And I want you, you, and you to film it with your cameras. And we're going to put it on YouTube. And we're going to make our own show, own movie on YouTube." You say, "Well, it happened in the class next to Melinda this last year. I can't say too much about it, but two little girls in there decided to fight, and one of them decided, another one, I mean, it was a terrible thing. The world that we live in is crazy and changing every day. And as Christians, we have to take responsibility in some of the things that's going on. We have to help. We have to be out front. Christians of all ages today are struggling with knowing God's will in their life. Well, the first thing in knowing God's will in their life, we must walk with God. If you're interested in knowing God's plan for your life, then you must learn to walk with God. You need to develop a relationship with Him. Christianity is all about relationship rather than just religion. You must cultivate your relationship with God. You must seek to know Him and not just seek to know about Him. God gives us the very best example way back to explain what He's trying to say here when He said a man and a woman. In Ephesians, it talks about this. "For this cause will a woman leave her family and marry a man." The very best example going is the relationship of a husband and a wife. If a husband and a wife don't ever, all the time during their married life, if they don't strive to love each other more and to work together better and more efficiently, then they're going to run into a problem. They're going to run into fights. Ultimately, they're going to be one of the statistics, one of the 40 or 50 people on an average that end up in divorce. We have to do this. I had a friend. He said to me, he said, "Ron," I was witnessing to him, and he belonged to a big church in Idaho. And I was telling him about Jesus. And he said, "Ron, I've heard about you guys, your kind, that want to tell somebody about Jesus." He said, "I was baptized into the church I'm going to when I was a baby." I'm not going to tell you the name of the church, so. "I was baptized into this church when I was a baby. I went my whole life to this church. I raised three daughters. They all went to this church. This church, I paid my tithes to this church. I've worked for this church. I've built things for this church. And now you're trying to tell me that all of the things that I've done for this church doesn't mean anything unless I repent of my sins and ask Jesus to come into my heart and live for Him." He said, "Are you trying to tell me that church membership don't mean anything?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Church membership don't mean anything." He said, "You mean a guy can walk off the street of Wino and ask Jesus to come into his heart, and Jesus will save him, and he'll go to heaven, and I've worked my whole life in this church. And I said, listen, that's what the Bible says. That's not something that I'm trying to, that's what the Bible says. You must cultivate your relationship with God. You must seek to know Him and not seek to know about Him. But accept Him as your Lord and Savior, and then you will cultivate that relationship with God. After a person is saved, then these verses come into real and start meaning something. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." The important part that I'm trying to get across today is our responsibility to live for God. Our responsibility to do what God wants us to do. Spiritual warfare is real. It's not something that somebody just tags and says, "Oh, that's what are you talking about?" Listen, be mindful of where you go. Be mindful of the company that you keep. Be mindful of the things that you say and the things that you do. Those things are what establishes your life as a witness for Christ. I know, you know, we know lots of people that really don't want to be a witness for Christ. They want to have a tattoo. They want to have a tag. They want to say, "Yeah, I went to the altar. Yeah, I got saved." But they don't want to take it one step farther. They don't want to move off of that. They're happy with that. They don't want to move. They say the preacher is crazy if he thinks we're going to... Mm-mm. Surrender your will to God, and God will bless your life. Yes. Surrender your everything that you have to God, and God will bless your life. Many times when we are seeking God's will, what we're really wanting is for God to okay our will. Did you hear that? Many times when we are seeking God's will, what we're really wanting is for God to rubber stamp our will. We plan our lives, and we don't realize sometimes what we're even planning, but we leave God out of it. The thing that really gets me is children. When we teach children, we teach them songs, you know, the B-I-B-L-E. How important is the Bible in your life? Do you know where your Bible is at home? Do you have a Bible next to your bed? Do you have a Bible on the counter? Do you know, can you go to your Bible and... I'm not saying, can you quote your Bible? I'm saying, can you go to your Bible, pick it up and read it? You know where it's at? That's what's so important for us to understand. When we teach little kids, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. We are teaching those kids at the age of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that the Bible is the most important book in the world. It's important that we teach them that, but at what age do we stop teaching them that? What age in our lives do we demonstrate to them that that's not the most important book in the world? That's where I'm going. Hey, I covered that up. And so that's what's so important. The Bible says in Romans, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. I don't even know what time it is. I'm about 4 minutes over. But see, I told you in the beginning, you're going to be wishing it was 12 o'clock too.
But Jesus was willing to die for us, so we should be willing to live for Him.
When we surrender to Him, we should be willing to think about this verse 17 that I read right off the beginning. We should be willing to do that. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter it grows. The more that I love Him, the more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter it grows. In Isaiah chapter 40, the Bible says this, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right, with my righteous right hand." Some people, in the past 2 years, we've had a big thing going on. Some folks say Black Lives Matter. And they're right. I don't take away from that. They're right. Some folks say White Lives Matter. I agree with them. Some folks say Unborn Lives Matter. Out of the three that I just gave you, that's the only one that really has been in jeopardy. And you know what I'm talking about. Unborn lives matter. All of those lives matter. But when you talk about black lives and white lives and cops, police officers' lives, and bricklayers' lives, and carpenters' lives, and mechanics' lives, and construction workers' lives, you're talking about the world now. And you can talk about their lives. They matter. They're doing something. I love to see people who are progressing in life, and they're actually making a mark for society. They're helping. They're helping do whatever they do, they're building. Their life is giving back to, even though they might get paid for it, their life is still giving back to. But the most important thing that matters is eternal life. I've heard preachers preach the vilest sinner right into his mansion in the sky. I've sat down with families who have lost a loved one, and they've told me, this guy, this loved one, he was a wife beater, he was an alcoholic, he was a druggie, he was on and on and on and on. And the wife and kids and the mom and dad tell me what a wonderful father he was, what a great man he was, and how much he loved God. And he never, ever that I know of, entered the doors of a church. We get the opinion that whatever a person does, it's okay. If they're living their life, let them live their life. Goodness gracious, don't hold them back. Let them express themselves. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us to rein things in. The Bible tells us to live right. The Bible tells us to choose you this day whom you will serve. It's time that we had a great awakening. I know that some of you are thinking, well, you're talking about the world. No, I'm not. I'm talking about our church. Listen, I don't know how many is here, and Larry will tell us in a little while, but if there's 115 here, That might be a stretch, but if there's 115 here, there's 115 of us who have to consider eternity. And if I knew the best joke in the world concerning eternity, it would be a farce. Because, my friend, eternity is no joke. Eternity is no laughing matter. I know, and you know, people who are financially secure, and they're just like that farmer in the Bible that says, "Soul, take thine ease." I think that the reason God told us to go into all the world and teach and preach. I told my wife, I think that the reason we have so many people coming to the United States, we live in the best country in the world, without a doubt. And the reason God is flooding us, did you hear how I said that? I don't back off of that statement. The reason God is flooding us with so many people from all around the world is because we aren't willing to go there. And God told us to reach them. And so He's sending them to us. Now, I know all of you just think it through. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. You have to consider that for your own life. I can't go down here. I can't ask this one. And you know what? If we went down the line, all of us wouldn't be honest. Because we all protect what is ours. But right now, the Holy Spirit of God, the ever-presence of God through His Holy Spirit, is in our midst. And God is speaking to your heart and saying, "Is thy heart right with God?" Let's stand all over the place.